Jesus and his friends are now in Jerusalem. You may remember that for the last few weeks they have been on their way there. We've heard phrases like, Jesus had his face set toward Jerusalem, and now they have arrived. They go to the temple, which is the presumed destination of this pilgrimage, the temple being the place where God resides. They are duly awed. The temple is beautiful. It looks like how one would presume the house of God to look. It has beautiful stones and other gifts that the people have given to honor God, organs and stained glass windows and things like that, with plaques all over the place noting the generous gifts of the faithful. As the disciples mingle with other pilgrims, oohing and eyeing at the beauty of the temple, Jesus blurts out, "As for these things that you see, the days will come when not one stone will be left upon another. All will be thrown down." Apparently, Peter and the others have learned from past experience it's not a good idea to argue with Jesus, so they don't question this bold statement, but ask, "When will this be? And what will the sign be that we will have to know that this is about to take place? If this sturdy and beautiful structure is going to be destroyed, if the home of God is going to be demolished, we want to be forewarned. The world as we know it will be no more." And Jesus does nothing to assuage the concerns of his friends. As a matter of fact, he continues with his prediction. And the prediction of the times to come are not rosy and cheerful, not anywhere even near happily ever after. His detailings of the events that will foretell the end of time are grim at best. For the rest of the church calendar year, which is only two more weeks, we will hear about these end times, about the time when everything is changed. In church terminology, it's called the eschaton. Jesus gives us some pretty graphic descriptions of what will take place before his return, which we await during the season of Advent. "There will be wars and insurrections," he says. "Nations will rise against nations, kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes and famines and plagues." And if that isn't frightening enough, Jesus says that some will be persecuted, families will be split apart, and some will even be killed. These are not words of comfort. They're words that get our attention and always have. Throughout history, folks have wondered when this prediction of Jesus would come to pass. People have always looked for the signs and portents that would alert us to the fact that the end is near. Thus far, we have survived every predicted end time date, even though there have been many calamities that were in keeping with Jesus' words of warning. Even now, nations continue to rise up against other nations, kingdoms against kingdoms. There are earthquakes and famines and plagues. And I'm certain that someone has pondered that the recent drought in Alabama is one of those foretold plagues that points to the return of Jesus and the end of the world as we know it. The reality of the situation is that we do not know when the end will come. Jesus' prediction about the temple was correct. Actually, at the time of Luke's account, the temple had already been destroyed. The world, as the first century Jewish folks knew it, had totally changed. The Holy of Holies was no longer, and yet, God was not destroyed with the temple. Nor was Christ destroyed when his body hung lifeless on a cross that was meant to be his destruction. Jesus destroyed that which was meant to destroy him. He overcame the power of hatred that killed him with the ultimate act of submissive love that led to resurrection and new life. And the choice that we have in front of us today and every day is, how are we going to live our lives? Are we going to live our lives as those who are fearful and anxious, worrying that every event that happens in the world is a sign that the end is near, that the world as we know it, or the church as we know it, is about to crumble around us? We could certainly do that. We could certainly look at the events in our country and around the world as clear signs that the end is near and live out our lives in fear and anxiety. Or we can look for signs of new life. Look for places of hope and resurrection. If we keep our eyes open, we can see how signs of life and hope sometimes show up in the least expected places. Buildings that have been left vacant and fallen into states of total disrepair have trees and vines growing up to reclaim them to the earth. Do we pay attention to the building left to crumble, or do we notice how Mother Earth is growing up to reclaim it? Just a few years ago, we had a watermelon growing here at Grace. No one had planted watermelon seeds. Apparently, this one had fallen on the way to the trash, or maybe somebody just spit it out onto the ground, and it began to grow. And that in itself might seem unlikely, but the even more unlikely piece to this is that this fully developed watermelon plant with a watermelon on it was growing out of a crack in the sidewalk near the kitchen of the church. And then there was that chicken that happened upon our grounds, who laid eggs that were somehow fertilized and became chicks. Now, how often is a whole family of chickens found in downtown Anniston or downtown anywhere? The choice is ours. We are daily given the opportunity to focus on the world with fearfulness and anxiety about what the future will hold, or to look for signs of life and hope, not in a Pollyanna way that ignores and overlooks the ways in which people are mistreated or marginalized. We are always called to fight against oppression and care for our neighbors, all of our neighbors. But we should never live as those without hope or succumb to the fearfulness of the world. The fact remains that we do not know what the future holds. We never have, and we never will. Jesus tells us time and again not to worry, not to be afraid, to trust Him and to trust God. As we move toward the season of waiting, the season of hoping, let's keep our eyes open for signs of hope, signs of resurrection, knowing that God is with us no matter what.